countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
Now, land is something, it is said, that we're obsessed with in Ireland. And Nicholas Green, a professor of English literature at TCD and also a farmer himself, has written a book entitled Farming in Modern Irish Literature. And Suzanne Campbell has been reading the book. And in fact, you went down and met Nicholas, Suzanne.
I did indeed. He's not far from me, down in Ballinaclash, which is a small little village in Wicklow. And he has this fascinating farm that actually comes right into the crossroads of the village. His house was at the crossroads at the bridge. And the farm extends back from that. It's about 120 acres. He still farms, Nicholas, in partnership with a neighbour. Yeah. And it's mainly tillage now. And he's got rid of all his livestock. And he says he doesn't really miss it, but I kind of think he does. But anyway, I went down to talk about this new book. I mean, he's written lots about Shakespeare and Yeats. He's a very well-known writer on literature in Ireland. But in this, he turns to the rural experience and land. And he writes about such a range of people. I mean, from Anne Enright to Edna O'Brien to also, I suppose, the writers that we really associate with this territory, like Patrick Kavanagh, Seamus Heaney, John McGahern. And I suppose I asked him to take me around his farm and his experience of growing up in those post-war decades of the traditional Irish farm, which many of us would still be familiar with, right up to the 1980s and 1990s. Those practices were kind of still the same. And particularly those early decades when he was growing up.
This was the original dwelling house here. It would have been thatched, even in memory of an old man who used to work with me. He can remember the thatch there. Mm. And then they would have built on this very conventional farmhouse with two rooms on either side of an entrance hall. So that's where I grew up.
You use a phrase in the introduction of your book. Is it a Heaney phrase that everything is hand-done? It describes that period, really, in Ireland that so many people would be familiar with.
He talks about an age of bare hands and cast iron.
That's it.
And what triggered that poem of his, it's called The Turnip Snedder, a turnip pulper. It's mm-hmm. a Philip Pierce turnip pulper. And I remember this so well because we had one right up here.
Yeah.
And that feeling of turning the handle of the turnip pulper. And, you know, he describes the way in which the pulp comes down at the bottom.
Yeah.
But it's that sense of kind of intimate contact, you know, with the materials and with the cows. Of course, we hand milked all our cows at mm-hmm. that stage. And my father had this passion about horses. Even in the 1950s, he wouldn't have a tractor here. He had all horses.
Goodness.
And he had a whole theory about it. I think it's what in India would be called intermediate technology. He felt that the investment, big capital investment in machines that we didn't need for this size of farm
yeah.
was a waste when you still could do things by horsepower. And admittedly, it has to be said, there was relatively cheap labour at the time. We had two people working on the farm full time.
Farms, that's a key thing. I mean, labour was cheap then. Men's labour was cheap to buy. And we know that was a real issue, I suppose, for the working class man and woman and the rural man particularly. But it also made, I suppose, farms much more dense with people. There were much more people working on farms and there was much more people living in the rural landscape then. You know, when you walk around farms, there are bits of cottages everywhere. And we have to remember, I suppose, it was 8 million plus people in Ireland, mostly in rural Ireland, before the famine. And I suppose that rich population made a very different experience and the work was much more physical as well.
I mean, what I find very moving about the farm here, when we came here, the names of the fields were all names of individual people, individual families. So down there was the Kavanagh's Meadows. We're going to go up through the Hopkins Field, the Carty's Far Field, Judy's Meadows and Tom's Field. All of those would actually have been separate people who lived on this farm. This is pre-famine, presumably, you know.
Oh, my goodness, what a view.
This is silage, but in my day, it would have been hay. Silage is a new thing for us, you know. So I associate very much with the kind of scene that John McGahern describes in Amongst Women. You know, all hands on deck to bring in the hay. I'll just read a little piece that McGahern has. It's Moran and Great Meadow, the tyrant father getting all the family out. As soon as the dew was burned off the grass, the whole house was in the hayfield, shaking out the heavy tangled lumps of grass that Tedder had missed with the fork, raking what was light in from the edges. Towards evening, when the grass started to take on the dry crackle of hay, it was as if the small handshakings were springing up in the meadow. For five whole glaring days, they worked like this, too tired and stiff at night to want to go anywhere but to bed.
So we all remember, I suppose, Damien, you know, the days bringing in hay. Could you ever forget it? I mean, I remember on my mum's.
I used to love it, actually.
Yeah, you'd love it. But you'd love it, I suppose, because it was such camaraderie and camellia. And I remember on my mum's farm in Fermanagh, we'd bring the tea out to the men, you know, the bottle that had the tea in it with the milk in it. And of course, I used to get hay fever, which no one really cared about then. So my eyes would be out to here. I'd be streaming. I couldn't breathe for about 5 days.
No, I loved lifting the square bales onto the flat trailer, except if you get into a thistly field.
Oh God, the thistles, and you'd be pulling them out of your hair and everything later. I mean, I suppose what we remember is, you know, the good bits and not the bad bits. And, you know, I asked Nicholas about, I suppose, that even with the huge changes that we've had, how important land is. It's such an important part of our identity, and it appears so much in Irish literature.
From the time after the famine, the families who managed to get hold of the small family farm were determined that just one child would inherit, and it was almost always a son. But it wasn't necessarily the oldest son. It was whoever was they thought was best for the farm. But with large families, that was a big question about which one was going to inherit, when would they inherit, when would the parents decide to give up. And what would happen to all the other children? Mm-hmm. They had to emigrate. If they were a little bit up in the social scale, they might become a priest or a nun. But some of them became writers. And it's this class of writer that I'm particularly interested in. You know, the Seamus Heaneys. John McGahern is one generation away from that because his father was a guard. But it's this investment in the land and in the farm and turning that into literature. That group who sort of came of age after independence, that's where I decided I wanted to focus.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we are so nostalgic? Particularly, I mean, everyone who had a granny or someone in the countryside or summers with an uncle milking or something, why is it so vibrant a theme? You know, we see throughout Irish writing so much.
Well, I think there are a number of answers to that. The first one is kind of political. Gaining the land, gaining ownership of the land, those small farms had been so hard fought for, so struggled for. Mm. So people were very tenacious. The farm had to be kept in the family. So there's that kind of investment. But also, I think what I was talking earlier about that sense of the intimacy with the land, you know, children at that stage would actually have been involved in a very direct way.
They'd have been touching and feeling it.
Feeding calves, milking cows, feeding pigs. And I think that's part of the reason why for writers who, you know, most of them lived in cities, became kind of middle-class writers, there is this enormous imaginative investment in the time when they're really close into the land, to animals, and to the very tight-knit community that went with that.
That's Nicholas Green there. He wrote Farming in Modern Irish Literature, published by Oxford University Press. It can be ordered from most bookshops and is available online as well. And he was speaking with Suzanne Campbell.